how to prepare and conduct disciplinary meetings. Depending on the process for progressive discipline in your workplace, there may typically be 2 or 3 disciplinary meetings. How you prepare and conduct your meeting can be broken down into 10 helpful categories. 1. Prepare for the meeting. 2. If the employee fails to attend. 3. How to conduct the meeting. 4. Stating the complaint. 5. The employee's reply. 6. Questioning and discussions. 7. Summing up. 8. Don't make a decision during the meeting. 9. Stop or suspend the meeting. 10. Following a disciplinary meeting. Let's discuss these. Preparing for the meeting. Ensure that all relevant facts are available, such as disciplinary records and any other relevant documents. For instance, absences or sickness report, and where appropriate, written statement from witnesses. Arrange for someone who is not involved in the case to take a note of the meeting and to act as a witness to what was said. Check if there are any special circumstances to be taken into account. Be careful when dealing with evidence from a person who wishes to remain anonymous. Anticipate answers from the employee and, if possible, check them out beforehand. Allow the employee time to prepare for his or her case. If the employee concerned is a trade union representative, discuss the case with the trade union full-time official after obtaining the employee's agreement. Arrange a time for the meeting, which should be held as privately as possible, in a suitable room, and where there will be no interruptions. Try and get a written statement from any witnesses from outside the organization who is not prepared to or is unable to attend the meeting. Allow the employee to call witnesses or submit witness statement. Make provisions for any reasonable adjustments to accommodate the needs of a person with disabilities. Think about the structure of the meeting and make a list of points you wish to cover. Next, we'll discuss if the employee fails to attend. Now, where an employee continues to be unavailable to attend a meeting, the employer may conclude that a decision will be made on the evidence available. The employee should be informed were this to be the case. Next, how to conduct the meeting. Remember that the point of the meeting is to establish the facts, not to catch people out. The meetings may not proceed in the neat orderly stage, but it is good practice to always introduce those present to the employee and explain why they are there. Introduce and explain the role of the accompanying person if present. Explain that the person or the purpose of the meeting is to consider whether disciplinary actions should be taken in accordance with your business disciplinary procedures. And explain how the meeting will be conducted. Next, stating the complaint. State precisely what the complaint is and outline the case briefly by going through the evidence that has been gathered. Next is the employee's reply. Get the employee or give the employee the opportunity to state their case and answer any allegations that have been made. Establish whether the employee is prepared to accept that they may have done something wrong or are not performing to the required standard. Next is questioning and discussion. Use this opportunity to establish all the facts. Ask the employee if they have any explanation for the alleged misconduct or unsatisfactory performance. If it becomes clear during this stage that the employee has provided an adequate explanation or there is no real evidence to support the allegation, bring the proceedings to a close. Keep the approach formal and polite and encourage the employee to speak freely with a view of establishing the facts. Do not get involved in arguments and do not make personal or humiliating remarks. Next is summing up. Summarize the main points of the discussion after questioning is completed. This allows all persons to be reminded of the nature of the offense, the arguments and evidence put forward, and to ensure nothing is missed. Ask the employee if they have anything further to say. This should help to demonstrate to the employee that they have been treated reasonably. Next is, don't make a decision during the meeting. Adjourn before making a decision. This allows time for reflection and proper consideration. It also allows time for any further investigation, particularly if there is any dispute over facts. Next, stop or suspend the meeting. It may be appropriate in some cases to consider stopping the meeting and suspending the disciplinary procedures. For example, when the grievance relates to a conflict of interest. Bias is alleged in the conduct of the disciplinary meeting. Management have been selective in the evidence they have supplied to the manager holding the meeting. There is possible discrimination. The employee becomes too upset or angry. Lastly, following a disciplinary meeting, you should inform the employee as soon as possible in writing of what disciplinary penalty you plan to impose, if any, the reasoning behind the decision, what specific improvement is required, if any, how long any warning is going to remain in force, the likely consequences of any repetition of the misconduct or continuation of the poor performance, the right of appeal, and how and within what period this should be exercised, and detailed follow-up schedule.